Welcome back. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game, moving along on a Monday. We will get through this. We'll be stronger than ever. And I want to go right out to the TikTok Jewelers Hotline. Joining us now, MLB Insider at ESPN. It's Kylie McDaniel. How you doing, Kylie?
Doing great, man. Thanks for all that energy in the intro. You're really getting me jacked up.
We got to be positive. How are you holding up? Where are you? How are you holding up?
I'm at my house in Atlanta, and my fiance and I both work from home, and we both travel a lot, and now we're just doing the same thing, but not traveling. So we're doing okay, cooking all of our meals. It's not that bad.
Right. Well, we'll hang in there. Definitely, we have no other choice. Let's get right at it. We were talking about this. We're a little worried we may not see the Vermont Lake Monsters play baseball at 2020 now. Right now, tell us what your is this the way it's going to happen? What are you thinking? What's going to be the norm here?
So the sort of big chess pieces at play in the MLBPA agreement from last week was that the owners wanted to get as much as they could on the draft and international signings on the amateur end of things in exchange for the players getting what they wanted in terms of favorable service time and pay for big leaguers. Now, what wasn't really discussed but was sort of the elephant in the room was minor league baseball, because the owners have made it clear that they would like to cut minor league baseball. The math of a lot of these, especially short season teams, is even with a subsidy of the players being paid for by the big league team, the minor league teams still lose money. That doesn't mean they should be cut, but it means if you're a billionaire owner looking at this, you're like, why are we losing money for this? If we just cut one team, we can just release all of our non-prospects, consolidate everybody, and no one's really losing out. Now, obviously, the balance sheet doesn't say that, you know, small-town America, or not even small-town, even mid-town America, not having, you know, a connection to professional baseball, they can't put a dollar amount on that, so they don't. And so the sort of question is, depending on when the big league season runs this year and how long it runs, that will dictate what happens to the short season leagues this year. We obviously don't know when things are going to start or if they're going to start. And so the full season leagues are an issue. The short season leagues are even more of an issue in terms of certainty. And then the long-term prospects is, it seems like the owners, by the time the next CBA comes about, which will cover the 2022 season, it seems like they're trying to dump all of those teams. And if that is tied to the draft and international signings, we have seen time and time again that the players union will be giving that away to get big league pay. So it just seems like inevitable that this train is coming down the track.
So, Kylie, you're saying that, I mean, obviously they want to contract the Lake Monsters and a bunch of other teams. So would a lost season this year make it easier for them to do that?
Yeah, effectively. Because there will be a 5-round Major League draft this year. If there is no games played at all between now and whenever the draft is, likely in July. And so if you're only adding 5 rounds of guys, and we haven't even really had spring training cuts, like the end of March when everybody, you know, every team has 10 or 20% more minor league players than they need. They didn't get to the end of that process to cut all those players. So there's already some fat. They're only adding 5 new players on average per team. You don't need that extra team in that scenario. Now, obviously, there's plenty of teams like the Yankees that have all kinds of extra short-season league teams. They try to have as many players as they can. They're trying to do the Branch Rickey, you know, sort of idea of having tons of players to get more prospects, which I think is the right idea in terms of investment and getting a return. But, yeah, I guess however you chop this, the COVID-19 is not good for minor league baseball, and minor league baseball, especially short-season leagues and the teams that were on that list, they're among the lowest priorities for either side right now, and so they're going to be the first thing that gets thrown out when somebody has to, you know, move some poker chips around to try to get what they want.
You know, Callie, you mentioned the current MLB players seeming to be perfectly okay with limiting the number of amateur players coming in and hurting future big leaguers. Why is that? Is that because they're trying to protect their own jobs? What's the reasoning?
Well, yeah, I don't think there's like necessarily like direct competition between a 6th-round pick in this year's draft and a player that's in the big leagues right now. But I think the way it works out, and indirectly it may look that way, because obviously those two things are tied together in a way where the big leaguers are in charge of negotiating for how their competition is going to enter the league and get paid. The whole reason that the players' union, which is the guys on the 40-man roster, so basically AAA in the big leagues, and not even all of AAA, just some of it, they get to negotiate on behalf of amateur players and set the terms for the draft, because Major League free agency through compensation picks is tied to the draft. And yeah. So to negotiate on that, they get to negotiate for the amateur players. The amateur players do not have a union. Minor leaguers that are not on a 40-man, which is 99% of minor league players, also do not have a union. And they have, like, no way of having a seat at the table. And so from the Players Association perspective, they're trying to protect their members, not highly paid players, not lowly paid players, just players on a 40-man, and they get to control the draft. And so from their perspective, they're like, we're going to do whatever we can for our members, and the owners want to save money, so they'll try to save money on amateur players. We're controlling their future, but we don't really care what happens. And so they're going to keep giving away whatever they have to give away to get the short-term benefit of paying their current members. Which you can't really fault them. Like, that's their job and they're doing it, and the owners want to save money, so they'll give the union what they want and take away from the players that they're not representing. Like, it's sort of totally logical the way it works out, but, you know, it doesn't mean it's okay. It's just what's happening.
Kyler McDaniel of ESPN joining us here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game and 1013thegame.com. You know, when we first found out that the Vermont Lake Monsters were on the chopping block here as one of 42 minor league teams that MLB wanted to get rid of, there was a lot of outrage, a lot of people, government intervention trying to save minor league baseball as we know it. Now we all understand that Major League Baseball is going to take a huge financial hit this season as a result of lost revenue. Are people going to backtrack on that anger and say, hey, we know you lost a lot of money, so however you can save your money, we're okay with it? Is the fans still going to be outraged by this?
I mean, the public relations of this is now much more doable. I mean, when you have Bernie Sanders going after all the billionaires saying that they're trying to cut, you know, a million or two from their bottom line, which is a rounding error, to take baseball away from small towns. Like, it was very clear that it was the big bad billionaires are taking baseball away from everyday people. That's a bad thing. We got to fix this. Like, taking that point of view was not very difficult to land there. But now with like a $1 trillion industry in like professional sports, on, you know, not necessarily on the brink of disaster, but it's not going well, and they got to solve it. And that is a very, like I said, like they're already losing money on that in a way. And like the NBA subsidized the WNBA for a long time. Like there is a precedent for billionaires subsidizing things if they want to. And something that I pointed out in the article that Jeff Passan and I wrote for ESPN, like breaking down this agreement and all the implications, is if the owners thought of subsidizing short season league teams and having a longer draft and having more of a minor league system, and allowing more underprivileged players or players that need more reps to, you know, reach their potential sort of developmental spots. If they saw all of that as just a marketing cost, like more people will both play and go to these games. And so a couple million dollars a year to do all of, like all of the things I mentioned is, you know, $5 million a team, maybe less than that. If they looked at it as a marketing cost, I don't think they'd worry about it. They'll run commercials all day talking about stuff and selling tickets and things. And this is just, the problem is it's sort of like, you know, the government investing in education. It makes sense. Everybody wants to do it, but it's like 10, 15 years from now, you see a return. It's just a little harder to invest in that when you can invest in a ticket sale that happens tomorrow. And so it never really gets a priority.
I don't know how we could go ahead and contract minor league baseball. I just saw the Sandlot. You're getting me all teary-eyed for crying out loud. It's a part of Americana. How important is minor league baseball to grow the game of baseball, to keep it relevant, to keep it going, or are we past that?
Well, one of the issues, I think, and you see this in the NFL a lot, where you have all of these new stadiums, all of the tickets in the luxury suites and the cost of the game, and then how comfortable it is now to watch a game in your home or at a sports bar, you know, with the, you know, HD and all these giant screens and surround sound. It's like now, I mean, for me, going to an NFL game is now not as fun, even if it's the same price as watching it at home, because you watch seven games at the same time and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. This is happening in baseball on a smaller scale, where it's new stadiums, it's more expensive, it's, you know, corporate ticket sales, which is, you know, that makes more money and has more certainty for the teams, and so it's better for them. But your crowd now, even, you know, in my market in Atlanta, you hear a lot of people that live an hour or two outside of the city. They come to a game or two a year for the Atlanta Braves, and they'll go to more minor league games. Well, now you could live in the city. You could live on the premises of the stadium and not really be an affordable activity for the whole family to go on a regular basis. And then going to minor league fields is like the way to have some attachment to the game and get used to it, and then maybe feel better about making that bigger financial investment to be at the big league field more often. And so, again, it's one of those things that, if you you know, look at like the direction corporate America is going and how the people that are now running teams and owning teams, like Jeff Luhnow, formerly the Astros, coming from corporate America, there's a lot of cuts in areas like to scouts where on the balance sheet it doesn't say your players that you sign will be worse because you don't have as many scouts, and you can't quantify that. And so it's hard to wrap your arms around it from like a corporate perspective, but that is what's happening. And over after a couple of years, you realize your farm system's not very good, and there's not a lot of people in Appalachia that like baseball because you took baseball from them. And you couldn't necessarily predict it on the numbers, but you should be able to see it coming if you just sort of take a human perspective. Yeah.
Kylie, you've spent time working in MLB front offices. What would your life be like? I mean, you said you were just kind of at home these days and somewhat relaxing, I suppose, at least a little bit more than you might be. But at the end of March, what would life have been like in a normal situation?
Oh, I mean, my schedule was about the same, whether I was with a team or, on the writing side, either with Fangraphs or ESPN, which is every weekend I'm at high school and college games. I'd say most, maybe half of the weekdays, I'm at a high school or college game. Once the minor league season starts, those get sort of peppered in. And I would say by, the beginning of April, once the minor league season starts, it's, five games a week, six games a week. I actually just posted on Twitter that I had a weird dream last night where I was in an airport about to leave somewhere that I had flown for a game, and I saw a bunch of scouts getting off a plane, arriving to the place that I was at, and I had, panic, what game are they going to? Why are they coming to the city that I'm leaving? What's going on? And I'm like, that doesn't seem healthy that I'm, having fever dreams about am I at the right game when there's no games going on.
Kyler, I'll get you out of here on this. Do you think that a shortened season changes the way that maybe teams attack the year ahead? We've all been thinking the Red Sox in our area are not going to be particularly good. They're going to sell off assets because they're going to be out of contention. If we're playing an 81-game season where the separation is a whole lot closer and they can't finish 27 games behind the Yankees, are they more apt to go for it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, again, if you want to go back to these cold economic turns, variability in baseball is higher on a game-to-game basis than other sports. That's why they play 162 games instead of 80 or 16. And so if you then cut them down to a half season at 82 games, that means the variability and the standings will be much different, because I think we've all seen teams that aren't that good go on a crazy 40-game run because, they've been eliminated or they got, some energy from a couple of rookies that came up, or, reasons that don't really make sense, but you can just sort of see momentum started building. Well, now that's half of a season, not a fourth of the season after you've been eliminated. And so if you can just sort of catch lightning in a bottle in a way that obviously no one can really predict, or else everybody would be doing this. If the Red Sox come out of the gate strong and they're, 28-12 in the first 40 games, it's we're now effectively at the trade deadline. We're halfway through the season. There's not much to say, and that's just a couple times through the rotation. So the effect of Chris Sale going down is effectively, half as much.
He's Kylie McDaniel, MLB Insider at ESPN. Kylie, thank you so much. Stay safe down there. We will have baseball soon enough, and we'll have to do it again.
Yep, thanks for having me on.